Breaking news off the top of the debrief right now. Massachusetts prosecutors have dropped their case in whole against actor Kevin Spacey. Remember, he was facing sex crimes charges. We hope to talk about that tonight, but we're going to bring you now to closing arguments in the so-called military love triangle murder trial. Kamaya Hassel is accused of encouraging her lover, Jeremy Cuellar, to murder her husband, Tyrone Hassel III. Prosecutors were up giving their closing arguments just moments ago. Perhaps you caught those on the Law and Crime Network. The defense is up right now after presenting no witnesses. Let's listen to this live.
She knew a lot of details, ladies and gentlemen. So did Specialist Hamilton. She had an affair with Jeremy Cuellar. That does not prove that she was part of a plot to murder her husband. Does it make her a bad wife? Sure. Does it make her a person who lacks honor? Sure. But that doesn't prove a plot. That doesn't prove intent. I don't doubt she knew about it, ladies and gentlemen. She admitted that she knew about it. And in fact, in those phone calls, which, by the way, were taken just if you listen to under Sheriff Height, those phone calls were from just after she got back. The first one was, I think, 6:30 a.m. So she had been up in Lansing that whole night and then had been brought back down and processed, and that's when she made that statement. So at that point, she still hadn't slept. She still hadn't presumably, well, I shouldn't say she hadn't eaten because we don't know, but she had been in police custody this entire time. And what did she say as well when she spoke with her mom? This is not something I thought would end up like this. She may well have known what was going on. And notice I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, she knew, because I'm not going to put thoughts in your head, but I think we can safely presume that she knew. But she, like Specialist Hamilton, who indicated, yeah, I feel guilty because I could have stopped it, but I didn't. She understandably feels guilt because she could have stopped this and didn't. But in her words, I didn't think that would happen. Just like Specialist Hamilton said, I didn't think this would happen. I knew about it, I understood what he was telling me, but I didn't think it would happen. And the reason that's so important, ladies and gentlemen, is you'll get a verdict form. And that verdict form has a couple different options. Option number one is not guilty of first degree murder. Option number two is guilty of first degree murder. But option number three is guilty of second-degree murder. And what that does, ladies and gentlemen, second-degree murder, and Mr. Perangeli alluded to it, there's going to be a chart that has elements of first degree and elements of second degree. And in the element of second-degree murder, it says that you knowingly created a high risk of death. And ladies and gentlemen, I would tell you, or I would argue to you, that Kamaya Hassel did not really think this was going to happen, much like Specialist Hamilton did. Did she tell Jeremy to stop it? No, she didn't. No more than Specialist Hamilton did. Did she knowingly or unknowingly create this high risk by not stopping him? Possibly. But that is also a big jump, ladies and gentlemen. The jump that the prosecutor wants you to make is a very significant one. It's a very large one because it's based on things that we don't know. The last thing I want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, is the ethereal concept of beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay? And the judge will read you an instruction, and part of it says, well, a reasonable doubt is simply a doubt that is reasonable. Well, that's not really helpful. What I will give to you, ladies and gentlemen, as an example, we talked about when we picked this jury, we talked about buying a house. And we said that there are lots of reasons why you may like a house. Okay? You may like the school district, you may like the roof, you may like the yard, you may like the kitchen, you might not like the kitchen. And you have a decision to make. The issue is not, is this a house? Okay, we know that a crime was committed. We know that Tyrone Hassel was brutally and heartbreakingly gunned down. We know that. The issue is Kamiah Hassel responsible? And so when you think of all the evidence in this case, I want you to think about that house and think about, yes, okay, there is a roof and there is aluminum siding and there is a nice yard, but there may be issues with the heating and cooling system. There may be issues with the school district. And those are things that when you think about purchasing a house, you pause. You hesitate because you have a doubt about whether or not you should buy this house. And that doubt is reasonable because it's based on the evidence that you have. It's not a question of, is this a house? It's a question of, are you going to buy it? In this case, ladies and gentlemen, there is ample evidence that suggests that simply because Kamiah Hassel knew of the details does not prove that she was involved, that the statement that she made implicating herself was the result of a long stay in police custody, followed by repeated denials, followed by manipulation. Again, Detective Longusky's agreed upon word, manipulation. It was only then that she began giving details, parroting him, as I read to you. Those are the only reasons that she made those statements, ladies and gentlemen. And without those statements, the prosecution has no case against Kamiah Hassel. And I hope you return a fair and just verdict in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Ready for Mr. Perangeri, please.
That's the defense closing argument as we're watching live from that courtroom in Michigan in the case of Kamiah Hassel. The question now is whether we're going to hear the prosecution rebuttal here this evening or whether that's going to push into tomorrow. I'm being told no, that indeed will push into tomorrow. So or at least we won't hear it right this moment. So let's jump in with a panel discussion here. Linda Kenny Bodden, Judge Ashley Wilcott with me tonight here on The Debrief. So what did you think, Linda Kenny Bodden, of that closing argument? I thought that that whole analogy with the house just really fell flat because at the end of the day, a house is a house, unless it's a trailer or it's a condominium. A house is a house. The question is, okay, do you want to buy it or not? Well, it's still a house.
Now, I'm buying the prosecution's house, and let me tell you why. If I'm the prosecutor, I come back and say, hey, he told you to pause, the defense attorney, right? Did Kamiah Harris and Jeremy Quare call pause? No, they kept going at it until they were successful. It is terrible to open on the fact that this was a false confession and then close on the fact that you should pause because you're buying a house.
Judge Ashley Wilcott, your reaction to the closings.
I completely agree, and he even said that's all he based it on is, hey, she was manipulated. That's why she gave the admission. That's why she made the statement she did. Law enforcement's fault. There was a brutal murder. She didn't do it. It's not a very – but then again, they don't have much as a defense, so what else are you going to argue in closing?
Exactly. We've got some more action in court in this case, so let's listen back in. This may be the prosecution's rebuttal.
When you talk about the corroborating evidence, there's a lot of evidence here that corroborates that statement, and you know that. You already went through it, starting with Heather Wyatt. But let's talk about this. Evidence you don't have is that the sole control of that defendant, why did she get rid of that? Yeah, could be 100 reasons, or it could be she didn't want to get caught. It could be because she was guilty. That could be. That's why. You don't delete your Snapchat account that you've had since she was in Korea. So obviously a long time when she didn't delete any of the other accounts. She only deleted the account that she admitted to using. Why? Her statements are evidence of that. Defense counsel says, I'm asking you to presume what was in those Snapchat conversations. I'm not asking you to presume. You know it was in from her own statements. That is evidence. Her own statements. He says, if you don't know, you don't know. That's not true. You do know from her statements, which is evidence. Now, he compared Kamiah Hassel to Jaquan Hamilton. Ask yourself this, did Jaquan Hamilton want her husband, Sergeant Hassel, dead? No. And I asked Jaquan Hamilton right after, were you involved in the plan to kill like she was? No. That is such an apples and oranges argument. Again, that's just grasping at straws. Jaquan Hamilton did not continually contact the defendant on Snapchat.
Jaquan Hamilton did not continually update the defendant as to the victim's whereabouts, where he was going, to and from, the whole Walmart, all corroborated by so much other outside evidence. Jaquan Hamilton never did any of that. There's no need to defend Jaquan Hamilton. Did you make a mistake? Sure. But it is apples and oranges when you're comparing Jaquan Hamilton and this defendant. It's grasping at straws, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the evidence and what the evidence shows. Because actually, Jaquan Hamilton did come forward. This defendant never did. Until she was confronted with Jeremy Cuellar the first time it came out of her mouth. She knew all along what had happened, but never mentioned Jeremy Cuellar. Why? Because she was involved and did not want to get caught. That's why she never came forward. Has nothing to do with Jaquan Hamilton. Again, he did not want this defendant dead. She did. Lunguski's statements. You're right. He is very good at what he does. And this was, no. She didn't know Detective Lunguski before this. Sergeant Lanier testified that Rick Biggert offered, do you want to go meet with this gentleman? And she says, yeah, I want to go. I want to clear my name. So they drove her up voluntarily on her part. At that point, yes, she says, I will go meet with him. There's nothing coercive about that. And in her own statement to her mom, she said, no, they're not coercing me, Mom. We planned it. To her mom. And there were, this wasn't parroting, Lunguski, she was talking, and he is good. And what did he say to you? He says, yeah, I train others, and very important is that we train. False confessions or fake information, false information doesn't do us any good. He's there to find out what happened. False information doesn't do him any good. He says, I take very active steps to make sure we don't get false information. And like defense counsel says, he's very good at his job. He is very good at his job, very good at making sure he doesn't get false information. He did not get false information from this defendant. He got those corroborating details. She gave him all the extra information that he never knew about, the sister. Why it had to be done, which ended up right with what Tyrone Haslow II says, is that this defendant wanted to stay later. This defendant wanted to stay later on block leave because they hadn't fully fulfilled their plan yet. The details about Hector Rodriguez that she gave, the details about the gun, he dumped the gun in Chicago.
You're listening to Closing Arguments live from Michigan in the Kamaya Hassel murder case. She's accused of plotting with her military lover to kill her military husband. We're going to be back after this quick break here on The Debrief. We're back live with a prosecution rebuttal in the case of Kamaya Hassel. She's accused of plotting murder with her lover, Jeremy Cuellar, the victim, her own husband. Let's listen.
Making it accurate. The details in that confession, the details that she gave, matched up with everything else. The evidence of her continued contact and her affair, the deleted Snapchat, only leads to one conclusion here, ladies and gentlemen. And this is beyond a reasonable doubt, doubt based on reason and common sense. What does common sense tell you here? What does common sense tell you happened here? common sense tells you all that this defendant planned this murder with Jeremy Cuellar to murder her husband. Defense counsel was talking about second-degree murder and creating a high likelihood or a high risk. This is not second-degree murder. This was planned out. This is first-degree murder. Planned out in Korea, culminating in his death in Berrien County. And that second phone call was later in the evening. 7-something in the evening, I think, under sheriff testified to. 12 hours later. And she still said in that phone call, we planned it. We planned it. No coercion. No reason to lie to her mom. She said initially also, did he do this on his own or did you tell him to do that? We planned it. Over and over again. She's we planned this. This isn't second degree, ladies and gentlemen. This is first degree because they planned it out so far in advance. She had every time in the world that she wanted to call it off. She had every time in the world to stop it from happening, and she didn't. It's not something that she said. She took it seriously because she was in on it. Her statements to her mom couldn't be the one statement. Did you all think you could get away with this? We thought we could. Well, if she didn't do anything, what is there to get away with? Why would she make that statement? If she didn't do anything wrong, what is there to get away with? That's what she said. She said, you know, Mom, that last statement, my choices aren't because of how you raised me. My choices. Everything about this case, her choices that she made with Jeremy Cuellar. Everything about this case comes down to her choices that she made to follow out the execution of her husband. She said in her interview, wrote out the statement, told Officer Peppers, yeah, everything I said is true, I lied to them. And she said in her phone call with her mom, I was staying with Big Ty and I lied to that family, I lied to my family. She admitted over and over that she lied. The choices that she made brought us here today. The choices that she made to carry out the murder of her husband brought us here this week. She knows she is just as guilty as Jeremy Cuellar. She knows that. She said it. And you know it too. Not for second-degree murder, but for first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. Hold her accountable. Hold her accountable for her actions. Give Sergeant Hassel that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'm going to send
you just listened to the prosecution rebuttal. The judge now speaking to the jury in the Kamiah Hassel case. This is out of Michigan. A woman accused in a military love triangle murder plot. Prosecutor there linking, saying this was an execution of this defendant's husband, perpetrated by her prodding, her encouragement, and ultimately carried out by her own lover. Judge Ashley Wilcott, attorney Linda Kenny Bodden, with me here on the debrief. So Judge Wilcott, execution, that was the key word that I jumped in and latched onto during that rebuttal. That might sum this all up. The injuries were heinous.
Absolutely, Aaron. And what he did is he brought home the fact that, listen, defense wanted to talk to you and say, oh, it was under duress that she made a statement, she was manipulated. This rebuttal said that is not all of the evidence we heard. Keep in mind, it was planned. And he also said there were things like the Snapchat, which is allegedly how they planned it, had been deleted. So he brought home the fact, heinous crime, good verbiage he described it, but also here's the other evidence showing that she did it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Exactly. You know, you got the phone call with the mother. We had all this ready to go for those of you watching the debrief, and then the closing argument spilled over. But Linda, we've got confessions with interrogators. And look, it's one thing to turn around and say, you know, I've been pushed around and everything. Right. But this isn't a child confession. This is somebody who is trained, okay, somebody who's been around the world defending the country, familiar with government processes, at least to a degree, okay? You've got the calls with the mother. I think this is a really strong case for the state.
Yeah, I don't think this satisfies the wrongful confession, the false confession that we normally see, which is normally somebody underage, somebody who's got mental deficiencies. This woman, remember, she's in the military. She technically herself is a trained killer when you think about it. She's a trained military personnel, all right? So this laying in wait, absolutely. This man, when he listened to the medical examiner today, had a shot on the front of his head, right above his left eyebrow. He knew who his killer was, and his wife lured him to where the killer was.
Yeah, I think I counted 3 shots to the head, 1 to the shoulder. At least that's what I counted.
And 1 graze.
There may have been a couple of others. I didn't listen to all of it. But look, the bottom line, the jury getting that case, if not tonight, then first thing tomorrow when they come back in Michigan. I think we've got about a minute and a half left here. So Judge Wilcott, Linda Kenny Bodden, I want to talk about this. One sentence issue, this one sentence filing here in the Kevin Spacey case out of Massachusetts. They're deciding to drop the charges because of the unavailability of the complaining witness. Judge Wilcott, I think this is tied into the accuser taking the Fifth and not wanting to say anything about the disappearing cell phone because the defense wants to get into the contents of it and say, look, were messages deleted? Was this really not as serious as the accuser made it out to be?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I think bottom line, this victim decided he did not want his cell phone messages, his life exposed for whatever reason, and so he has this fear.
Exactly. Okay, Linda Kenny Bodden, what do you make of it?
Absolutely, and he didn't want to get prosecuted, and he thought if the cell phone was available, maybe he would be prosecuted for filing false reports against Spacey.
Well, you know, it could just be that there's not some evidence that doesn't make it look as sinister as the accuser makes it. It may be that it did happen. Again, this is a huge maybe, but if the state can't prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt, and if evidence favorable to the defendant has been deleted, then the case has to drop by operation of law, and that's what happened here. Judge Wilcott, Linda Kenny Bodden, we're going to be back with more on the Spacey case tomorrow here on The Debrief as we digest this. For now, we're going to wrap up. We've got a lot to talk about tomorrow, though, for sure, so we hope you join us then. We'll be back at 5 p.m.